Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
How many has been enjoying this new sermon series that we're doing right now called Questions? Come on, we've talked over the last few weeks about who is God and finding our identity in Christ, finding our identity in who he is and not who somebody else has told us he is, but finding out who Jesus is. And last week we talked about being the salt of the earth. Who is the salt of the earth? God has called us to be the main ingredient to bring this world back to him in Jesus' name. Title of my message today is this: Why Do We Doubt? Why do we doubt? If you go to Florida, I remember when we first started going to Florida, we would look at the weather forecast. Oh, it's going to rain every day. I mean, it would show, but anybody, y'all got it. Can you get an amen on Florida? It may rain every day, but it may only rain for 15 minutes. But I would look like 70% chance of rain. But I'll tell you what we did a lot of times. We chased the sun. Like we would go from one end of the beach, okay, I know it's going to be sunny up there. We'd get in our car and take off up to the other end. So we'd chase that sun, because when you only get a few days, you got to get the best hand you can. Can I get an amen on that one? You got to chase that sun sometimes. But a few years ago, we were in Florida, and we heard that a hurricane was coming. And we watched everybody take preparations and precautions for the storm. And we left a few days, didn't want to, but we heard it was going to be a monsoon. So we left about 3 days early. And I'll tell you that storms in the natural are inevitable. You can take preparations, you can take precautions, but they're still going to affect you in some way. Storms in life are also inevitable. And how you navigate through those storms can determine where you end up at. Sometimes your navigation tool has to be God, or you're going to end up somewhere off course. How you navigate that is going to end up where you go. And will you draw closer to God? Or will you allow the storm to bring distance between God? So many times, will you draw closer to God? Or will you allow the storm to bring distance? There's one of two things people do when they start coming to church. As soon as something starts happening in their life, they either quit going to church or they get closer to God in that circumstance. God has to do things in your life sometimes to disrupt us. He's disrupted my life several times. And when I look back on it now, I can see that those disruptions were holy disruptions. Come on, not everything, I'm getting ahead of myself. Not everything you go through in life, right, it can be for your good. You may not be able to see it in the middle of it. You may not see it at the start of it, but it can be, you can have a testimony on the other side of your test. In this story here, I'm about to tell you, the disciples were on a spiritual high. Man, they had just witnessed crowds coming to Jesus. He was healing people. He was doing one of the greatest miracles. He had just fed over 10,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. Can I get an amen? Anybody? Guess what else they had? They had leftovers. Anybody like the leftovers in the house? Come on, get your hands up. I could eat them cold right out of the refrigerator. Oh, man, you don't even know it's so good. But needless to say, they were not expecting what was coming. Unlike hurricanes, some storms just pop up. Look at Matthew 14. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there. Meanwhile, the disciples were in a trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. Living for God doesn't always mean there won't be any storms or bad weather. All of us are going to experience trials. All of us are going to have temptations and testing. We're all going to go through this. The Bible says this: He makes the sun rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Whether you're good, you're going to get rained on. Whether you're bad, you're going to get rained on. Storms hit us all. Life happens. Circumstances happen. Situations happen. Tragedy happens. It's all a part of life. It's just like the big bad wolf who wants to huff and puff and blow your house down. We used to do that to Bubba, and he'd get such a kick out of that. That's not just a cute story. Let me tell you something. You have a real adversary. His name is the devil. He is your adversary. There's a real spiritual storm going on all around you. There's a real spiritual war going all around us each and every day. You will face storms in this life. So right here in the middle, right here in the middle of the storm, here's where the disciples are. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Matthew 14. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus, I was going to do that in a Scooby-Doo song, but anyway. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage, for I am here." Then Peter called to him, I love Peter, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." Jesus said, "Yes, come." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. I once walked on water. Y'all believe me? I was about this deep in water at New Smyrna Beach. Before I knew it was a shark bite capital of the world. And me and my friend were out, this has been like 30 years ago. We're looking, all of a sudden, we're just chilling and having a good time. And all of a sudden, we looked over, and I ain't kidding. About where that monitor was, there was this shark fin coming right at us, like just like this. I don't know how big that shark was, but I was picturing Jaws. He may only have been 2 feet, but I saw him as 25 feet. I took off walking on the water. I beat him. He's skinnier than I was, and I beat him all the way into the bank, and I said, "No." Oh. I walked on water out of that water. But Jesus told Peter, "Come." Even though it didn't make any sense, that's what faith and obedience look like. Peter took one step out of the boat into the water. God is always calling us to take that one step. But sometimes our lack of faith, sometimes our disobedience keeps us from taking the step that we need to take. How many of y'all need, in your life right now, you need to take a step and you've been afraid to? You don't have to lift your hand, but I'm just asking you to think about it. I got some people raising their hands right now. God has been dealing with you. There's been circumstances dealing with you to take a step, and you've been fearful. But let me tell you something. You never know what's on the other side of the step until you step. Jimmy, you had to step out in faith on a big old tires that many years ago, right? You had to take a step of faith to say, "Okay, God, I know you've gotten, you're with me, and you're going to be with me," and he's still with you taking those steps. Peter was doing great. He was doing awesome. He was taking the steps towards Jesus, but he got into trouble when he lost sight of what his next steps should look like. Look at verse 30. But when he saw the strong wind, come on, and the waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink. He says, "Save me, Lord." Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. He said, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" The problem Peter had was he stopped looking at Jesus. He was focusing on the storms. The waves were churning. The water was hitting him in the face. You know, I doused a little kid yesterday. I don't think they liked the water hitting him in the face, but it was, I got a terrified look and all of a sudden a smile at the same time. But the water was hitting him in the face. The wind was making it hard for him to even stand up. The enemy always wants you to focus on distractions. He always wants you to focus on family drama. Come on, anybody got any family drama in the house? Get your hands in the air like you just. Gossip, job situations, security, fear of the future, what your 401k is going to do. He's always trying to get us to focus on anything besides what, on him, besides on Jesus. But let me tell you, when we put our focus on the natural, it can become very distracting. Don't let the wind distract you. Don't let fear sink you. Don't let doubt drown you. When Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. That's why we have to keep our eyes on fixed on Jesus. He's the author, the Bible says he's the author and finisher of our faith. We got to become like Peter and just jump out of the boat. Peter had big faith. Jesus said he had little faith, but he had big faith. If Jesus called him to do it, he was faithful to know that God, that he was going to take him through his next steps with him. Come on. Once he starts something with you, he's faithful to finish it. You just got to keep stepping. Although a storm surrounded him, Peter looked to Jesus. going through the storm, surrounded by circumstances, look to Jesus. The winds and the waves are just distractions. There are things that are just trying to distract you to keep you from looking to Jesus. But just because you look to Jesus, I'm going to be real here. That doesn't mean distractions are just going to fly away or go somewhere. You have to continue. This is a daily walk with Christ. This is, you got to get up each and every day and you got to put your holy pants on. I don't know what to do. But we have to follow Jesus each and every day. Because the enemy is going to bring distractions. He's going to bring the winds and the waves and the trials and the turbulence around you. But if we keep our eyes focused on him, we'll know where we are going. You have to continue to look at it. The second that Peter took his eyes off Jesus, doubt started consuming him. Fear started gripping him, and the conditions around him became the focus of what he was looking at. And you know what he did? He started to sink. Again, don't let the things in the natural distract you. Jesus will come in the storm if you'll keep your eyes on him. I like this part in this verse. It says, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Jesus caught Peter because Peter was close to him. You know what that means to me to believe? Peter just didn't take one step. He took several steps towards Jesus. He was right there almost to Jesus when... Oh, man, that'll preach. He was almost to Jesus when he took his eyes off of him. He was almost there. And so many times we're almost there. We're so many times we're just that close to our breakthrough. And Jesus is like, I'm right here to grab hold of you. Come on, take a couple more steps. He was that close. You remember what you got to do is you just have to keep on walking. No matter what hell you're going through, no matter what family drama you're going through, you got to keep walking and keeping your focus on Jesus. You may feel tossed. You may feel like you're just barely floating. You might even feel like you're about to go underwater and drown. But look at what Psalm says. The Lord is close. Oh, you got to get a verse sometimes. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirit are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. How many of y'all been rescued in your life? I've been rescued several times in my life. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing that can stop you from getting to Jesus if you make your pursuit getting to Jesus. He's ready to reach his hand out and walk with you. And Jesus spoke of Peter's little faith, and we focus on Peter's lack of faith. But a little faith is better than no faith. How about the guys in the boat? They still in the boat. Oh, Peter, you just made a... No. At least Peter got out of the boat. The guys in the boat apparently had no faith. Peter, this is a perfectly good boat. Why would you want it to get out of a perfectly good boat? People going skydiving, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Makes no sense to me, and I ain't doing it. Come on, I don't, yeah. You don't know what's out there, Peter. But here's the thing about Peter. Peter was very, like, crazy. Just do it. I mean, let's lop somebody's ear off. Let's do just the craziness. Peter said, I can't stay in the boat. You got to watch who you're in the boat with. Because you get in the boat with the wrong people, they're going to cause you to sink eventually. If you get in the wrong boat with the wrong people, you ain't going nowhere or you're going backwards fast. If you focus on the people around you, you're going to go one of two ways. You're going to go forward. You need to get you some forward people in your life. Or you're going to go backwards. You need to eliminate some backwards people in your life. Cut them off. Help me, Jesus. So I'm going to say my title one more time. Why do we doubt? Our focus is where our faith is. What you focus on is where you will finish. I'm going to say that again to the people in the back that didn't hear it. What you focus on is what you will finish. Focus finishes what faith starts. Come on. You have to start somewhere. And so many times fear grips us and doubt gets hold of us and we stay in one position. And God said, man, just take a little step, even if it's a baby step, even if it's an inch, even, come on. Life is not taking leaps and bounds all the time. Sometimes life is taking small steps towards Him. And I think so many times we're looking to, I've said this before, the grandiose things. And God says, no, be faithful over the small things, the little things, and I'll make you ruler over much. This morning, I want you to keep walking. I want you to keep going forward in God. Jesus wasn't calling Peter to the water. He was calling Peter to a new level of faith. He wanted him to get out of the boat and into the water. Why? Even though he faltered, he still got out of the boat. I think that's why Jesus could trust Peter later on. He says, upon this rock, upon you, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because Peter was willing to take a step out in faith and just do what don't make sense sometimes. I love that song we sing, When It Doesn't Make Sense. This life and the journey we're on, Sam, it doesn't make sense sometimes. But that's when you got to grab hold of God and say, God, I don't even know what's going on, but I know you do. Let's look at verse 32. And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him and said, you really are. These guys walked with him all the time, but you really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. You can either be ruined or refined by your storm. It's your choice how you navigate the storms. Storms can be rough and they can be good all at the same time. Some of the greatest lessons that I've learned, that you've learned, have come in storms of your life, right? Can I get an amen? There are two types of storms. A correction storm. Whew, I've been corrected a few times. Dylan, you ever been corrected? Okay. Not by your wife. I'm talking about God. The correction storm is what Jonah faced when he disobeyed God and went the opposite way. A perfection storm is when God is putting you through a storm to bring you out to a better purpose. Come on, not everything is to kill you. Some things are made to refine you. In storms, it can make you run. It can make you draw back. It can make you try to fix us instead of depending on Him. And also, a storm can take you back to a place and remember how good God has been. Come on, you got those places in your life. So many times we go to the negative, we go to the bad stuff. But there's times, come on, can I get an amen? Has God been any good to anybody in here? Come on, y'all should be rejoicing. God has been so good. We focus on the bad all the time, but my God is good every day. His mercies are renewed each and every day. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Jesus had a plan for these guys for the first minute that he told them to cross over the lake. It would require the winds. It would require the waves. But why did they cease when he got in the boat? Because they were no longer necessary. The trial was over. The testing was over. No, he didn't need the winds and things because he just proved to them that he was God. The storm they feared, the storm they thought would destroy them, Jesus was actually using that storm as their next step to winning a world for him. None of them really fully could understand the magnitude of God's plan, but God had a plan to use these 12 men to change the world. There are crossover seasons in our life. There are seasons that we have to cross over and face storms. We got to work through the wind. We got to work through the trials to get to our destiny. And man, it's hard. I ain't gonna lie, it's hard. There's days when I have to remind myself, God, you're in control. I can't fix this, but you can. God, that person's acting a fool. You can fix them. I mean that jokingly, but I don't. God can fix them. Amen. You've been trying to fix them. You've been trying to fix your husband for this many years. Won't you start praying for him? You've been trying to fix your wife for many years. You need to start praying for her. You've been trying to fix your kids for many years. They're still running like crazy wildfire somewhere. Start praying for them. Start bringing them before God and say, God, I've tried everything. It ain't working. So I'm going to try it your way. Come on, somebody. God's way is the best way. They had to cross over. There is no growth in the comfort zone. There's no growth in the boat. There's no comfort in the growth zone. When God's growing you, it hurts. He's pulling and he's tugging, he's grabbing, and you're holding on for dear life. Ah, I don't want to let that go. God, he said, if you just let it go, I got so much better for you. God has so much more growth for us, but we keep holding on to it. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean God doesn't maybe want you to learn something through it. Go further. Something is on the other side. But again, so many times we don't because of fear and doubt. When the winds and the waves die down, here's some good questions to ask in this question series. Lord, what is my next step? What are you preparing me to do? And what I'm going through right now, can I grow from this experience? Because how you answer these questions, you can choose to worry or you can choose to worship. And sometimes I praise you in this storm. I remember that song many years ago that brought me through a lot of storms. I praise you, God, even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, even when the waves are hitting me in the face and the winds are pushing me off course, I'm going to trust you in this storm. The disciples went from worrying about what was going on to worshiping God. You really are God. You really are who you say you are. What you feared, this is a word you can walk on. What you feared, you can walk on. God's going to give you the ability to walk on your fears. He's going to give you the ability. That thing you thought was going to kill you, No. You're going to walk on that thing. Come on, this is a word for somebody. This is a word for me this morning. In good times and bad times and rough times and stormy weather, we have Jesus. And Hebrews said this. Come on, worship team. Hebrews says this in 6:19. This hope we have is what? An anchor. So when life is tossing you to and fro and you don't know where to go and you just, man, I have no idea what's going on. There is an anchor to your soul in Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through, no matter what hell you've brought upon yourself, there's an anchor if you stay anchored to Jesus. Oh man, you're going to get off course sometimes because this is life. You're going to get off course and do things that maybe you shouldn't have done. But also when we're anchored to Jesus and we can keep our eyes focused on him, that no matter the storm that happens in our own life, we can always come back to with grace. He's standing there. I love the prodigal son. I'm right here. I never went nowhere. I'm sitting on the porch waiting for you to come home. You're the one that acting a fool. That's my life story. We have an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Jesus broke down every barrier. He tore when he said, "It is finished," the veil tore right down the middle. And you know what that means? We have access to God through Jesus. There's no more barriers. There's no more storms that's going to keep us from where we need to be. We have access to Jesus. So as I close and y'all stand, I ask the question again. Why do we doubt? Today you may feel like you're going through a storm. And maybe you feel like there's no hope. Maybe you feel like some things inside of you is dead or is dying. But just like Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, come forth. This is a defining moment. I feel this in the room right now. This is a defining moment this morning. That God is calling you out of the tomb that you put yourself into. And I'm going to ask you, like Peter, whether you need Jesus as salvation, whatever you need from him, I'm going to ask you to step out of the boat this morning. Step out of your comfort zone. Step out of that thing. God can do so much with a little step if you'll just be obedient to him this morning. He's calling us, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give an altar call. There's going to be people up on the left and right that will pray for you. But I think it's just an act of stepping out in faith to say, God, I believe you can do it today. I've been trying to fix this for years and years, and it ain't happening. It's not going down the way I want it to go. But God says, today, if you'll take a step out of faith, I'm going to change it all. He's calling us out of the boat this morning and to take the step. And I wrote there in this note, he wants to meet you right where you are, right where you are. Not where you hope to be. So many times we gotta wait, we gotta be cleaned up before we can come to Jesus. Because you know, come on, the prodigal son again. He said, no, don't worry about cleaning him up. Just put the robe on him, put the shoes on him. I'm gonna clean him up when I get him back home. So I'm going to ask you this morning, as I grab my iPad and get ready to walk off this stage, and they're going to sing a song. It's what we always do. Let's not always do what we always do. Let's make a step out of faith today around these altars. Find somebody to pray with. You know what? Link arm with somebody that needs prayer this morning. They get ready to sing this song. I want to see everyone around the altar.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.